Hey guys, have you heard of Goldbelly? It's this amazing site where they ship the most iconic, famous foods from restaurants across the country, anywhere, nationwide. I've never found a more perfect gift than food. Goldbelly ships Chicago deep dish pizza, New York bagels, Maine lobster rolls, and even Ina Garten's famous cakes. So, if you're looking for a gift for the food lover in your life, head to goldbelly.com and get 20% off your first order with promo code GIFT. That's goldbelly.com, promo code GIFT.
We live. Welcome to Craig.
What a segue.
What's up, y'all?
This shit was funny as hell.
Ooh. Oh my God. Pile in, man. We got a good show planned for y'all today. Some extraordinary folks in the house today. What's going on, everybody?
What up? What up?
What's up?
You know what I'm saying? Yo, what the fuck did I want to talk about? I got a question for you, Duane.
Yeah.
Give me an honest answer.
Go ahead, Blazer.
What's the worst thing you've ever done?
That's a good question.
Worst thing you've ever done? Were you like, damn, I can't believe I did that?
Shit. I got to think about that for a second.
Doze, worst thing you've ever done?
I stole money from my pops, man.
Ah!
That nigga wanted to fuck me up.
He caught you?
Yeah. It was like, he had $60 in his wallet.
Right?
I had to be in with the 8th grade. I think it was the 8th grade. So, He had just came home from the hospital too for some like he was not that nothing bad, but it was like that he looked like, so you're going to steal from me? I'm on my deathbed. Come home and you steal from me. This is how you treat me. He really wanted to fuck me up. I think it was probably my first time in my life. I was like, oh, so daddy gonna kill me today.
Why'd you steal it? How'd you know it was in the wallet?
I mean, I looked at the wallet. I said, oh, you got money here? Let me take this $20. Oh. It was $60. I took $120.
Yeah.
That ain't gonna know.
You don't know that's motherfucking 30%, 35%.
He's an accountant. So he was like, oh,
yeah.
Serial numbers are all his.
Yeah, yeah.
Where's 125235?
This one is not mine. Like, Pops was not playing.
He's an accountant? No.
He beat the shit out of me that day. I remember that. That was probably the worst aspect but I ever got from my Pops. Like,
damn.
He felt really disrespected.
Mimi, worst thing you ever done?
I'm going to take it back to when I was a little kid. And I got, you know, at Catholic school, I went to school on 60th and Crenshaw, St. John's. And the report card progress report was in writing, you know. So when I got the progress report, I felt like I wanted to go away from the weekend. And sometimes my mom wouldn't let me go if everything didn't look right. So I had like some C minuses or whatever. And I wanted to be a C plus so it could look like I was almost a B. So I took a pen and made pluses. But when she opened, I didn't realize that they weren't actually the exact same color. It was a similar black, but it was another black.
Right.
So we're rolling down Crenshaw. We get to about Crenshaw and Hyde Park. And all of a sudden, she just slapped the taste out of it. I'm talking about, I saw stars. I saw the next day. And I felt bad because I really had a cool report. It wasn't a bomb. It wasn't no A's or nothing. But I really didn't need to adjust it. But you know what I'm saying? When I'm adjusting something in elementary school, third grade, trying to get some pluses on there.
Yeah. Mine was somebody like that.
Worst shit you ever did, Carmel?
All right, so high school. It's probably the most memorable thing I have for a friend. I don't know if I did him wrong though, but let me explain what happened. All right, so homie of mine liked this girl.
Right.
And he was talking about it like every day. Oh,
and you fucked her.
Nah.
Oh yeah, you wouldn't fuck him.
So he kept trying to holler at her. He said, yeah. We'd be at school. We'd be talking. And she was kind of feeling a little bit, but she wasn't like that. So one day, I'm at his house and I'm going to call her. All right, cool. He called. Sister answered, says, she's not here. I'm like, all right, let me call. So I call. Sister picks up. Oh, let me get her. Never seen a dude's heart get broke like that.
Damn. Damn.
And I felt so bad.
You were in high school?
I was in high school.
He get over it. He get over it.
Yeah. But I've never hurt another homie of mine like that, but I think he needed to see that.
Is he homosexual now?
was he like he was capping, like, yeah, she on my tip, like, you know.
No, I think he really, I think he felt like she was giving some play. She's like, oh, no, I think she liked me. But then I kind of felt, well, she did. She'd pick up the phone at least once.
You know why we be so hurt, or why some dudes be so hurt? Because I don't care now. Because they don't really understand how women choose men. They think that they choose men the same way we choose them. We go for the looks and the booty and all that other stuff. But it could be so, a woman to choose a lesser attractive dude over you if he has something that, you know what I'm saying, she might find more appealing, right? Yeah, that's a fact. Yeah. You know?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I think my worst one, I spit on somebody.
You don't know who it was?
I know who it was.
Okay, why'd you spit on
him? Because it was when we was at Westchester, this motherfucker used to always talk shit, and I wanted that fade. But he would talk shit and then go the other direction every time. So we was on a basketball court.
He just saved.
And I was right there. I was like ready to throw down. He didn't want to throw down, so I spit on him, hoping that that'd be enough to get him to throw down.
What would he say? What was the beef?
It
was the beef. That it wasn't no beef.
That shouldn't be a beef,
though. Where the rest of my shit at? Oh.
That was the beef.
See, even though we ain't got beef, we got
this
beef.
Nigga Craig is dressed for a workout and a job interview at the same time. Nigga, what the fuck is going on, nigga? I spit on him because I wanted that fade, and he didn't want to fight. But he talked all kind of shit where he's like, nigga, why you talking so much shit if you don't want to fight?
Right.
And I feel bad because we ended up becoming cool. And like, I remember like 10 years ago, he came to when we first started doing comedy at the Comedy Union. He actually came to a couple shows, and every time I saw him, I'd be like, damn, this nigga I spit on back in 98.
When I
go there, I go all the way. That's why I stay cool. Yeah. Like, when I go there, I go there. You know, and there's no going back.
Why
so
killing kids and everything when you go there? Man, what's your daughter? Stab this bitch.
I'm cool until I'm not.
Okay. I wonder what the worst thing I ever did. I done some foul shit, man.
You sneezed on you sneezed somebody's wig off?
Okay. When I was 12, I made up a fake fundraiser. Because we didn't have no food in the fridge. We was home. My mom and dad was split up at the time. Pops didn't even know where we lived at. And we didn't, you could pull up. And we didn't really have, it wasn't nothing cracking in the fridge that a kid would want, you know what I'm saying? So I went on our computer and I printed out some basketball jersey, youth fundraiser. I glued that shit to the back of a manila envelope, nigga, and went door to door in my apartment building. And made about $22 for jersey donations. And went to Thrifty's, bought two scoops of ice cream. And some shit I wanted at the house. And yeah, that was the first foul thing I did.
God, man.
Consciously.
Wow. That's why I don't give money to the kids when I see them now, because I already know too many people who've done that shit growing up.
Yeah.
I see them now, it's like, if you ain't got nothing to sell, nothing tangible,
okay.
Oh shit.
Oh, what's this?
What's up, Autobots?
This is miming right now because they can see us, but they can't hear it. So,
okay, we good now.
We good.
Here we go. There we go. Okay, we good.
Yeah. Oh, so the little girl and her mom was standing in front of CVS. You know, I gave them a little money. The little girl was kind of fond of me in some type of way. So about a few months later, I'm in Carson at a Starbucks. Same little girl, same mom. And what registered is how she...
I know this nigga ain't talking about a goddamn thing. Mm-hmm. But if it's somebody I ain't never talked to before, mm-hmm. and I don't know who they are either way, then I'm gonna listen to them first. And then once you establish that person's full of shit, then yeah, no more listening to them.
Otto, are there any secrets that you're keeping from your parents?
Sounds out again?
No, all right.
Are there any secrets that you're keeping from your parents?
No, I'm completely transparent. Like I got no filter, no lies. No secrets. Straight out.
Carmel, any secrets you're keeping from your parents?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I make my money.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's from family, period. I mean, they know I'm not doing anything illegal, but like people know how you bring in money. They tend to want to.
They start articulating plans to borrow.
And they find jobs for themselves. They find a CEO. You know what I mean? I used to manage a Starbucks back in the day.
Yeah, you know, most of my family knows Black Brew and stuff that, but that's like one stream. But like there's other stuff I'm doing to actually fund Black Brew that I ain't, you know, really.
Why do you keep it separate?
For that reason. Like, I always tell people, family is just people you close to, you had no choice to be close to. It's just real people. Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, like, if you need something, you're going to figure out a way to get it. And if your brother's the closest person to get it from, you'll get it. So I just keep it, you know, there's people in my family who I do trust, but a lot of them I don't.
Yeah.
Now, my mom is different. My mom I trust with everything, but just, you know, she talk a lot, so.
Yeah.
If you're not announcing everything that you do, is that keeping secrets?
Yeah. No.
No. No.
Why? No. Yeah.
If they're asking about it?
No, they didn't ask.
If they're asking, that's different.
If they ask, what I'm saying, I'm not just forward with information.
No, that's not. But if they're asking, you're definitely omitting certain details, that's keeping secrets.
Yeah, a secret of omission is some secret. Yeah.
Well, I don't consider it keeping a secret. See, I feel like this. Everybody doesn't need to know everything you're doing. Mm-hmm. The right hand does not need to know what the left is doing.
Preach.
Some of these people that act like they on your team, they really poking holes in your boat. Yeah. They really hoping you fall in the race. They really hope somebody else gets the job. Yeah. So I'm going to watch what I tell certain people. Unless you got something to do with what I'm doing and we're moving in a positive direction and we're doing something that's about money and I trust your business savvy. We don't need to talk about my business. Because if you don't have no business, you don't understand mine.
DeJuan, what is the most manipulative thing you've ever done?
I can't think of one time, but I had to go back when I did mortgage. Back when I did mortgage, you know it is in the mortgage days, we did some shit to get some loans out pushed out. Yeah, so I mean sometimes it's, you know, not being all the way front that this option arm is gonna change prices in 2 or 3 years.
Hey, option arm.
Pay option arm, like you know, we have these 2 or 3 year options. There's only a 1 year option.
Somebody
but we
said dine and dash.
that's easy. Yeah, that was easy one.
That was easy one. Yeah, good. A dash requires speed. That nigga ain't got no speed. So dine and go. A dine and relocate. Dash is for the fleet of foot.
The fleet of foot. You got some fleet foot shoes on
fuck
too.
Yeah, man.
You got some Uncle Todd's on your feet.
Carmel, most manipulative thing you've ever done.
Damn. Manipulative. Wow. Probably getting divorced.
Oh, you pressed the button on that before it happened?
Yeah.
Damn.
But I had to not convince her that it was the right situation, but almost make it like you had no choice.
Damn.
That's a big one.
That's why a nigga invented the gun, so he didn't have to do all that business over. That's how the paperwork.
But sometimes you gotta do it.
Let's fly to Africa.
So I'm mad.
I want to show you the whole that. No, you ain't told him that.
Yeah. You got to do looking crazy as
Yeah. It's a whole city dedicated to whooping your woman in that
rule of thumb.
They got fake brochures and travel agents and shit. Come to Blue Bloodstein.
Blue Bloodstein?
That's like North
Bloodstein?
I don't know what the fuck I gotta say. It's
that woman ass woman.
You land, niggas.
Ass
you know what a rule of thumb is.
As soon as you get to the hotel, you knock your bitch out. Bow.
You know what a rule of thumb is?
What is it?
It's an old school common law back in the day where you can beat your woman with a stick the size of your thumb or skinnier. So that was a rule of thumb. If you're gonna beat your woman's ass, it had to be a stick that was skinnier than your thumb.
What's the point of whooping ass? Well, skinnier.
Skinnier than your thumb.
Yeah.
They didn't say pinky finger, they said thumb. Yeah, that's some fucked up shit.
That's where the term rule of thumb comes from, ain't it?
Yeah, rule of thumb. Yeah. Rule of thumb,
some shit, man. Most manipulative thing you've ever done, Otto.
Nothing, man. I'm honestly straightforward. Now this, like, I had this one girl give me a cosign for me on a student loan. Mm-hmm. I didn't manipulate her. I told her everything what I needed it for, and she did it. And things didn't work out like I thought they were. Mm-hmm. So
they weren't gonna work out.
I didn't. I was praying.
You was praying.
I was praying, hoping that, you know, I get this money right back to you, but it didn't happen that way. And I got the money, and she got the debt. So I didn't manipulate her.
Yeah. So that was a straight up robbery. Wow. Yeah.
Well, you still owing it too. I hope you don't think cosign mean you ain't got to pay nothing.
No, true, but it disappeared after
student loan.
10 years.
Student loan.
No, student loans don't disappear.
No. It's just disappeared off my account.
So maybe she paid.
Oh, because
she paid the motherfucker.
Yeah, that's what happened. She made it off.
Wow.
I should still be there.
I don't like it. I told you. She made
it off. It was an old, weird white gay nigga is what he intended. And he promised to get a sex change when Otto graduated. And he reneged on it. I'm going to cut my shit off. We're going to be... Yeah, I'm going to get rid of my unit for you, baby.
I'm not gonna be big nasty after that.
No nasty after that.
Yo, I'm gonna try to reset something because the thing is stuck on the thing. I don't know why.
Okay. We have some technical difficulties.
Yeah. Shout out to Piece of Ink.
Piece of Ink, my favorite spot. Thank you.
How many of you wish that there was a better solution to pay off your debt? Our sponsor, PDS Debt, has customized a 0% interest option for those people struggling with credit.
Me.
I'm not doing nothing. That's between them, for real.
So you don't even tell Miles.
Now, if I think Pop's too into it, I might slide up on him and be like, Pops, I've been checking you out. Now, I ain't told Moms what's happening, but you like her. I mean, I really want to know what's happening. And if me and my dad like that, I noticed it. If it keeps going on, I might come as a little joke like, I see you, but not that someone else would hear it. Our conversation for us.
Right.
And then I would hope he would let me know why. Like, look, I fell out of love with her. She run her mouth too much. Whatever it is, you know. I actually want to know what that looks like.
Yeah.
If he was good to her and suddenly he's cheating, I want to know why. You feel me?
Right. Mm-hmm.
I do.
So you find you, okay. Your daughter catches you cheating. What do you tell her?
Well, I don't like the term cheating to begin with. Let's get that.
You gonna tell. That's what
you're
gonna
tell. No, for real. No, because look, because even going back to Pop, we had this conversation before. I don't necessarily agree all men are supposed to be monogamous.
Thank you.
So that's what you tell your daughter?
Yeah.
True story.
But what about she crying? She emotional? That's what you tell her?
She can cry and be emotional about a lot of things, but it's a teachable moment.
Right.
So let's talk about it.
Like, okay.
Because her mom might have an agreement.
Right.
She just don't know that. It's grown folks' business. She's just not a part of it.
Do you tell her not to tell her mother?
Now, if I'm telling her that, now I'm cheating. Now I'm cheating. Right? But if I explain the situation to her, because she found out. Let's have an adult conversation.
Right.
But no. Wow. It is what it is.
But what if she's asking you, to help her find a man that she feels is going to be with her for the rest of her life? Do you let her know that, you know, men are not...
You said all men. Like, some men are built.
Some men are built like that. Gotcha. Some men are alpha. Some are beta. Some are omega. Some are not. You know, and women are the same way. Some women are built to be a part of a man that situation works for them. Now, like, particularly one of my daughters, she's an alpha. She's not gonna rock with a dude like that. It's got to be her, nobody else. Now, my other daughters ain't got to that point. They're not that of age yet. But you know, there might be a girl who's subservient in that situation. And some women, right, especially today, a lot of women talk about polyamorous situations as working for them.
Right.
So, it's a conversation we get to have, but it's going to be like talked about in clarity, not just be like, you know, I'm doing my thing, leave me alone.
Mimi, could you handle two husbands?
Could I handle having two husbands?
Yeah.
Okay, oh, what is going on?
Tell she me said, like, what is going on?
I mean, tell me about these husbands. I mean, what? Are they living and I'm
they
out?
Both, they both good men. They just live in two different households.
Oh, okay.
But they always want to fuck you at the same time. Every,
oh,
they,
I wouldn't go to
that. Oh, no. Oh, no,
cause
I'm worried about how come they
want to
see each other naked that many
times. So you
times.
Hard? Yeah, I'm hard too. Let's go fuck.
Hey, your house of mine, my nigga. Your house of mine.
Yeah, no. Cause I'm a little concerned about y'all talking so much about the two of you with your dicks out. So I'm a little concerned about that.
What else is going on here?
What else is going on? You a little bit too interested in the three of us meeting up. Are y'all meeting without me? Is it a meeting down the street I don't know about?
Would you think it was strange if they held hands while they fucked
you? What the fuck? Yeah, I'm not even interested in none of that.
They look at each other's eyes and shit.
They look like they in love. Move me. Right. They move me out of the way. Move me. That's my boy. He's coming over for dinner tonight. You know?
Oh, my God.
Trying to show me your boy naked, right. Too many dicks out, swords fighting going on.
Yeah.
It's a problem. You feel me? You like this shit too much. And I ain't stupid, okay?
Hell no.
Man.
So you couldn't do two husbands?
Hell no. Hell no. That ain't happening. I'm worried about that.
Yeah. Could you and your homeboy marry the same girl?
No.
Okay.
No, okay, no. You talking on the stage about sharing your woman. Yeah, but we can't both be married.
Yeah.
Everybody got
that's a one time thing.
It's a one time thing.
Still one time.
A one night stand? Yeah. No.
Yeah.
Put
my finger in your butt. You know
what
I mean? They want to play with your butt.
Yeah.
Your butt.
Like,
okay.
Come on, Mimi.
Yeah. You know, it's butt time. You know
yeah,
what I'm
everybody
saying?
Everybody different,
man. She's been traumatized.
Hey, you know it's hard for you to come when the prostitute asks you if she could rest her mouth. Can I rest my mouth for a little bit?
Like an ice.
You, bitch, I didn't pay you to rest your mouth. Now I'm gonna rest my mouth. I've been down here for 2 hours. Would you allow a prostitute? Would you allow a prostitute to take a break during the session if she needed to rest her mouth?
Hell no, because we're on a clock. So it's a clock.
Time is money.
So if I arrange something in the beginning, I'm letting her know up front. You better come prepared. It's going to be a full throttle workout. If you ain't in shape, I'm trying to tell you now, we got this hour and a half, and you're going to get hard for an hour and a half.
Wait.
Who's getting hard?
Who's getting hard?
Me. Yeah. I mean, I'm hard, but
he's talking about the prostitute gonna get hard.
Yeah, that's what it sounded like. Right? These hard dicks. This hard dick. She don't get this hard.
What the fuck, Otto?
Hell no, she gonna get hard on hers or nipples. That's it.
All right.
We in 2021, so I don't know what you're talking about, bro. Come on, please.
Took out the vest off.
Oh my god! Auto too much.
Hey, I'm not diplomatic like that. I think I can have two wives if I had the right resources. I could manage two wives, but I would never share a woman with the homie.
No.
Could you?
No.
What's your reasons?
Hell no. ain't no reason. Yeah,
I know.
See?
What's your
This nigga crazy.
My reason is hell no.
Nigga, that's my reason. This nigga, you look like you ready to go street witness in the Harlots. Nigga. Fuck you.
Nah.
Yeah, nah. They ain't supposed to go down like that, man.
Hell no. Nah, no. It's some dudes who can. I guess they are out there, but nah, I don't think any of them in this room.
No. Can she have gay friends?
For what? I mean, like gay homeboy, homegirl? Mm-hmm.
Homeboys.
I don't really care.
Two wives. No. Can one of your girls go hang out with her gay male friends?
Mm-mm. I don't mind that. Like, because it depends on the situation. You know what I mean? Like, I don't like my wife has a gay friend that don't live in L.A. But we grew up together. I knew the motherfucker back in elementary school. I ain't know the nigga was gay till like a couple years ago.
Right.
You didn't know? Yeah, because he nigga moved back in the 8th grade. Gotcha. You know what I mean? Right. So I ain't really seen the motherfuckers like the mid-90s. And they kept in contact or whatever. But he live on the other side of the country. It ain't no thing. But yeah. If he came to L.A. to hang out, I wouldn't trip.
I'd probably have to treat it like how I treat her whole homegirls. Like, you can't hang out with her. If her gay friend is a hoe, like, you can't hang out with them.
Yeah, yeah.
Fuck that.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever celebrated somebody else's failure?
100%.
Yes.
You were like,
yes.
Somebody else's failure.
You have?
Ooh. Hell yeah. Mm-hmm. Somebody who screwed me over in business. Mm-hmm. You know, when they went ahead and tried to do what they did and that shit flopped on national TV, that shit felt great. I loved it. Yes.
Yeah, Martin, I know who you're talking about.
I loved it.
Mimi, you ever celebrated somebody else's failure?
You know what? I primarily don't do that type of thing because anybody can fail, and I try not to laugh at anyone's flaw because, hey, we all have ups and downs. But I will admit, I shall. I did a business deal like what you just mentioned, and the person did me wrong. I mean, they try to rectify it sort of now, but when they tell me things that's going on with them, I'm always thinking, yeah, what if you just gave me my money? I don't know if you follow me. Then some of this karma, not wishing bad on someone, but it's some of that stuff when you do bad things to people with intent to do wrong.
Right.
It's different if it's an accident, like you borrow money and now you can't pay it back, or something happened to you and now you're in a dilemma.
Exactly.
But if somebody's just going out, they're trying to come up on people, you've defrauding people to come up. And now you tell me about some sad story you got. I'm like, oh, yeah. I mean, I'm not happy it happened to you, but I can see how that could happen to you.
Right.
I can see how that happens.
I think I avoided all that because a lot of people in my family are like that. Or, you know, would take advantage of you, credit card scams, check scams, all that. So I grew around all that. That's normal to me. Like, niggas getting used. I just look at, well, I told you. I mean, I love them, but I told you not to go... Not to put yourself in a position. I can't help you right now. Now you got a debt from Bank of America for $3,000 because you...
Oh, they was dropping them checks.
Yeah. Ooh.
Yeah, early 2000s. That was the hustle. I remember it very well. It made a lot of people...
People didn't make a lot of money with that.
Yeah, people were dropping 4 or 5 checks a day, getting $3,000 or $4,000.
Yeah, exactly.
That's why Washington Mutual was closed.
I used to work at Washington Mutual. That shit happened. I remember I worked at Washington Mutual. Cats was washing checks like that. Mm-hmm. They hit my teller screen a few times with them. You find out that the next day, oh yeah, someone got $5,000 out your drawer. I'm like, God damn, one more of them, you're getting fired.
Wow.
Like, God damn.
Yeah, hell yeah, that's some real shit. You ever celebrated somebody's failure?
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Probably the last job I held before I went into like pure all-time entrepreneurship. A VP was the head of marketing, and this nigga was bad. This is one of the worst bosses I ever had. And most of the work I did, and he would just run into the meetings and just like, you know, PowerPoint it up. Yeah, I got this going on, and like, whatever. Long story short, the whole place was falling apart, and I said, all I got to do is stay here long enough till he got fired.
Yeah.
He literally got let go the day before I did.
Oh, wow.
That's all I needed. That's all I needed. Just to see him walk out, I'm good. You can let me go tomorrow.
Damn. Vendettas, man. Vendettas are hard to let go of.
Yes,
man.
They are.
Yeah, because when you have a vendetta, are you in control or are they controlling you?
They're controlling you. Because if your anger is in response to anything, anytime you're responding, you're being controlled.
Right.
If it's not a proactive thing, like some people you just don't fucking like.
How do you snap out of that control? Because you can make yourself conscious when you're unconscious, but how do you do it?
You got to let it go. That's where the whole forgiveness thing come out, because the whole forgiveness thing is misconstrued. When it comes to forgiveness, forgiveness is forgiving yourself, forgetting that fucked up situation, and letting that go. Right. Just letting that shit go, and that's the hardest goddamn thing to do. Yeah. I'm not gonna sit here and act like that shit's easy. Right. Fuck that shit, and it sucks doing it. But once you genuinely do it though, once you genuinely break it, it's the best feeling in the world. But that shit hard to break.
Yeah, because I think a vendetta is all an ego thing.
Hell yeah! How you gonna do that to me? How
dare you?
The nerve!
Right. You get them back.
You know what I'm saying?
You know what helps break it? When you look at the person that did it to you, and you look at the overall profile of them, some people are just dickheads to everybody. So when you see that they did this to you, and you can point out 6-7 other people they did it to, you can be like, okay, maybe that wasn't personal. Maybe that person's just a dickhead.
Right.
You know what I mean? That helps it. That makes it easier to let go for those people out there that want to let go. That look at that. Now, if they only fucked you over, but everyone else, they say they did right, then, yeah, that's a little different.
9 times out of 10, it's not personal.
Yeah, usually it's not personal. Usually that person's just a dickhead.
Right.
I think
right.
one of the things that helped me, actually, when I left that spot, is just focusing on something else. Like, you just putting all this energy towards that vendetta, you just losing out on something else you could be getting. So I'd say probably within 2 or 3 months of that time, I was like, you know, let me just focus on something else. And that energy, that anger you got to some, that much energy you put into somebody else going to something that's positive, it just became something more lucrative for me. It just took me that time to figure that out.
But there is that good feeling of, I overcame this mother. Mine was a nigga who fucking belittled me when I was in fucking like elementary and junior high. So it's like, now we adults, nigga, look at your bum ass now. So like, it's like, yeah, I'm gonna laugh at that. Like, you're talking all that shit, all that booty scratcher shit. Yeah, I'm scratching my ass real good. Nice tissue paper now. What you talking about? Like, all the African jokes. Not like the nice one, like, this nigga didn't like me. Like, he didn't like me. We fought. Like, he used to get my sister's hair. Like,
so
it's like, no, I didn't like this nigga. It's when I would think in my head, like, I would probably fight this nigga if I saw him again.
Yeah.
I didn't have to, because I'm like, life beat you up. Okay,
life got you.
Life fucked you up, nigga.
Yeah. Hey, you ever let some shit go and then you still, you genuinely let it go, but then later on that person still get fucked over? Yeah. It still feel good that they got fucked. Even though you let it go.
Exactly.
I had a dude that fucked me over with one of my houses, and then I found out later on, like, this is probably like 6-7 years later, his kid got like hooped at a top, you know, blue chip type school and got kicked off the team. That shit feels so goddamn good. Because that sympathy story is the reason why I went through that bullshit ass deal. Mm-hmm. And the sympathy story ended up not working out for him. Yeah. That shit, even though I let it go.
You fuck his kids too.
Hey.
You an evil nigga,
hey.
Man.
Hey. I'm a Gemini. I'm a Gemini like a motherfucker. Yeah, I'm not. Yeah, no.
John, any type of nigga to show up to your funeral to make sure you're dead.
I have laughs at funerals.
Oh, yeah, that's that nigga. Yeah, nigga,
I've had genuinely good laughs at funerals. I have.
Yeah. The fuck?
Why?
Genuinely good laughs. Yeah.
Damn, that was dark.
That's just funny. He said there were multiples.
Yeah, a couple times. Nigga,
you went there to make sure the nigga.
I accept my darkness. That shit, we all got it. I look my darkness in the mirror, be like, hey, it's there.
He'd be going through your pockets in the casket. I know this funeral wasn't free. This mama got to have it.
Wow.
You ever told somebody you love them and you really didn't love them?
Yeah, we all like 16, 17 a few times. Early 20s. Early 20s.
Nah, you know what? You know what? If they say they love me and I really don't, it's really like that bad of a thing. I'm like, oh, that's right or something. You know, that's what's happening. You know what I mean?
That's what's happening.
You know?
And with the Kobe fist.
Yeah. That's what's going on. What's that? You know, but if I really love them, I'm going to let them know. But some people, I can't even utter my mouth to say that to you. You feel me? You saying it because you know you did some shady shit. Mm-hmm. And you saying I love you to, like, say sorry, but the love is not really real. This is not even a real conversation. It's all, you know, presentation.
Right.
You know?
You ever told somebody you love them and you didn't love them, Carmel?
Mm-mm. Never. I have a hard time with words, man. I don't even like telling people I miss you.
So that wouldn't even come out your
it's not even close, because that it's weird to me. Like, words have so much power. Like, I don't even mess with that at all.
Yeah,
especially give someone any kind of hope. I really don't want to mess with you like that. To say I love you just to get you out of even out of the conversation, they gonna hold on to that. So, nah.
Otto, you ever told somebody you love them and you didn't?
No, every time I tell somebody I love them, it's genuine. I really try to be impeccable with my words. Now, they may have felt that I wasn't genuine, but when I said it,
I meant.
Okay, yeah. When you said you meant it. Okay, yeah, that makes sense.
Y'all niggas lying.
Thank you. Thank you.
Like,
I've definitely done that shit.
Yeah, I've.
Am I?
She said it. I said, oh, I love you too.
Yeah.
Well, good damn well, nigga. I'll be mute sometimes. It was barely at like. I like you.
But you gotta watch what you tell some people. They turn into stalkers. You tell them you love them. They be like, you said you love me.
Oh, yeah, it would be easy.
You know, so, yeah, you feel me? Like, that's really a bad thing. Like, you could try to be nice to somebody, mm-hmm. and it's a trip because they could take that niceness into, oh, they like me. Oh, mm-hmm. we got something going on. Yeah. We ain't got shit going on.
It would be
okay,
easy.
Okay, how you doing, though?
It would be easy to stalk DeJuan because he's everywhere. What'd you say?
This nigga.
Also, told women that I love them, and then they went nuts and like, well, I didn't really want you to respond like that, and yeah, become real clingy, like, oh,
start tripping.
But I still love you, but I don't love you like that.
Hey, look, if it happens in your teens and stuff like that, that's a, like, now if you're still doing that shit in your 40s, that's different.
Yeah.
But like, if you're in your teens and like your early, you do that shit then, hey, fellas, man, you allow one.
Do you consider emotional cheating as bad as regular cheating?
It can be. It can be.
Give me an example.
Like the OJ song, your body's here with me, but your mind's on the other side of town. If a woman's mind's on the other side of town, man.
If you fuck around and call me somebody else, man.
Yeah. What's happened to me?
That's
a bitch and her son called me another nigga's name. Yeah. I'm like, you taking this little nigga with you when you're going to cheat, bitch?
That's hurtful.
It was my birthday.
They called you Plato Thompson. It was your birthday.
It was my birthday. It took me to Denny's for my birthday. I was like, pass the peas, little man. He's like, no problem, Charles. I said, Charles.
Charlie got you a bitch?
I said, nigga, who the fuck is Charles? And she said, don't talk to my son like that, Clifton. I said, Clifton.
You look like a Clifton.
Motherfuckers. Yeah. Yeah.
Clifton.
So you never.
Clifton.
So you say it's not okay to, it's the same thing cheating emotionally as it is physically.
It depends on how extreme it is. Sometimes some of them, they may have that person's mind for a week or two, be a quick little thing and it's over with. But if it's one of those things where, like, because you see this all the time in church. Pastor be having a lot of these women's minds like a motherfucker. Mm-hmm. And you be saying, so many divorces happen. Like, when I was in church, I saw so many divorces happen because the pastor had old girl's mind. And the dude's like, what the fuck? But she ain't leaving pastor's church. And then she ended up, then it goes from the mind to the money to right. the time. Right. And they may not have ever touched pastor, but between the mind, money, and time, that ain't your bitch no more.
Mimi, do child molesters deserve second chances?
Oh, wait. If you out here, you a child molester, you checking out the 7-year-olds, the 8-year-olds, and you getting hard, no, you don't need a second chance to do that to someone else. I'm not saying they should be thrown out of the prison, but they need to be somewhere where they can't do that to children. I don't know how that works out, but yeah, you don't need to do that to
prison
children.
Prison works. Prison will work.
Yeah, prison that prison works. Whatever it is, but they don't need to be messing
Carmel,
with
if a 17-year-old girl, if a 17-year-old girl lies to a 20-year-old adult male and they can have consensual sex, is he a child molester?
No. I mean, look, if we get into the whole number situation, 17, 16-year-old girls can look mature and can be very manipulative. We're talking about like 12, 10, 9, 8, that's more child molestation. I mean, yeah, and even in some years after that, you know, if a girl having her period around 9, 10, 11, let's talk like 15 and up. Right. That's probably going to like cause to like say, okay, let's look at a situation and maybe she could have manipulated this dude. If they ain't 12 and younger, nah.
Mimi, can a 15-year-old girl manipulate an adult man?
I say no, but I say yes. So I say no because he has to be a grown man and know not to touch her. But she could be a little fast thing and come in there bending it over, doing things to promote this situation. I've seen little fast little girls where you're like, really, is that how you getting down? But still, he's grown, so he can't be manipulated. But she's trying to, is my point. If he's not a strong, smart man and know the difference, he can fall based on that. But a real man's not going to want to get with a child.
But that's the thing, is a real man.
Not going to do that. Yeah. But I mean,
but he's lying, though. He may not have known.
I've met 15-year-olds this year. Yeah, exactly. I've met 15, 16-year-olds in the fucking club.
Yeah, but you, but you knew that. But you know better.
I didn't know. Someone had to come and tell me, hey, yo.
Oh, wow.
Stop. She's like, what the fuck left this nigga in? Get her out of here. Right. Wow. Why is she sitting with us? Drinking and shit. No, take her over there. Wow. I've had to kick motherfuckers out of our section. Hold on. She's how old? Nah. Hey, yo, somebody come get her.
That's crazy.
I think women before they got to that point had already been molested by somebody close. Like, I think if you're 13, 14, 15, and she's fast, her being fast had to come from somebody who, an adult that knows her already, that's not, like, directly close.
Or they could be the lack of the love of her.
They could be lack of it.
So there's lack of the family, but it would be somebody that knows them. You know what I'm saying?
Usually, if you're molested by somebody, you know.
Sometimes lack of attention, too, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I was saying.
If you're having sex with a woman and she makes no noise, is that strange?
Yeah, that's strange.
Why is that?
Because it's strange. Like your jacket, nigga. That shit's strange in the motherfucker.
Because if you fuck a bitch, she probably going to die, nigga. So she ain't going to make no noise. Like, I'm used to killing bitches in the sack. Mimi, you lay down with a gentleman. He makes no noise. He's quiet the entire time. Is that weird to you?
I'm looking at how is he putting it down. Or he might be just thinking that shit. Some niggas just trying to be cool. Shit, how's he put down?
He doing a great deal.
I mean, nothing at all. Just
he's holding his breath too. The whole time.
That's strange. CPR. You know what I'm trying to say? So, yeah, now that's a little strange. I'm going to have a problem with that. Are you okay, boo? I might have to ask him about it. You know what I mean? You feel me?
Yeah.
You ain't saying like that. You act like
he's an Eddie holding his breath.
Nigga, you alive, nigga? Hello? Get your ass up.
Is it strange for a woman not to make no noise during sex?
Of course. Of course it's weird.
Okay.
Of course it's weird.
I don't know. Why is quiet sex weird, my nigga?
Because, bro, I've never experienced it, though. I've never experienced it.
You said every time you fuck bitches, they be, and they be just loud as a motherfucker.
They're not always loud, but
they're not always bitches either.
Quiet. They're always females. But, nah, it's always, I haven't experienced somebody mute. Hasn't happened.
That would be weird.
Unless she's deaf.
You fucked it deaf, bro.
I can see Otto fucking a deaf, bro. I can see that. She be hum.
And that would be awkward. But she wasn't doing that either.
Did she be in
the
second?
She wasn't quiet? Well, hold on. You said you fucked a deaf, bro.
I'm saying if I want to.
So what was that like, Otto?
Come on. You had sex with a deaf girl? Touch her. You had sex with a midget before, huh?
With a midget? She was short. She wasn't a...
How short are we talking, nigga? Like, under four feet?
No, not under 4 feet. No,
wow.
Four
feet.
You look like you smashed an autistic bra before.
Oh, Jesus. No.
Oh, she was on a spectrum, but not...
She's a high functioning. I don't care. That shit funny, man. You ever stolen from the workplace?
Oh, of course.
What'd you steal?
Hey, man, like when you have a side business, man, your job is your Staples and Office Depot. Like, I didn't understand how much stationery and all that stuff costs until after I left my job. When I was at that job the first 4 years, I had that side business, man, my whole secretary station came from work. And, nothing major, though. It would just be stuff, office supplies, that papers,
stapler.
Yeah, printer, toner, and all that stuff. You know what I mean? I thought it fit mine, and it didn't. And I had not been able to use it.
I took when I was in the military, right? I took one of the batteries from one of the older vehicles. I was using that bitch for my car.
Oh, wow.
my battery's going out. Like, I can tell. Like, that's my fuck. I keep having to get it jumped every couple days.
Yeah, yeah,
it was
yeah.
One day I was working late. Ain't nobody here. Fuck. I went and took one of them from the 60K.
Why not?
I drove like a champ after that.
You stole from the job before me? One.
Yeah, I would take the first aid stuff, too. They would have, like, the aspirin and the, you know, Band-Aids and the pencils. You know, I want everything. So yeah. I would take all the supplies from work. That's not really a big deal, but, you know, I liked it.
Yeah.
One day I looked up, I said, dang, I got a lot of that stuff here.
Yeah.
Resources. Yeah. Especially they bought a box markers or whatever. Let me get a couple of those.
Exactly.
Let me get some of these. I need this, too.
Wow. Take.
Yeah.
Yeah. How long we been on now, Brown? Oh, okay.
What about you?
Yeah. Have I stopped? Of course. I used to work at this job called blah, 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 blah.
Okay. All right. I remember that.
We used to sell labor law posters.
Mm-hmm.
And it was this nigga that was cheating like a motherfucker. He was selling an absorbent amount of shit and getting commissions. And it was irregular. You know how you work a job that's numbers driven? You're like, okay, everybody else is selling two or three. This motherfucker's selling 40, 50. There's no way. Mm-hmm. So I found out I was right. It was no way. So I started doing what he did. You know what I'm saying? And I did it because the job kept changing their commission structure. One month, we sell this amount, we get that amount. The next month, we got to sell double to get the same amount for, you know what I mean?
Oh, wow.
They got the
oh, yeah, you was just...
Yeah, I'm about to quit, so let me get these motherfuckers on the way out. So I sent out a faulty order.
That's fair.
Yeah, fuck them.
Companies fuck you over all day. Fuck them.
Yeah, fuck them. Fuck them.
I was reading something.
If you was running a company and noticed workers stealing, the same amount of stuff we stealing, menial stuff, you know, just paper clips, staplers, some toner, whatever. How would you react?
I'd understand. Like, I'd fire him, but I understand.
I understand.
But it's because it's business. You know what I mean? But I understand because, like, that's padded into the cost. No, I fire him. But that's
on the paper.
For anything, because you got to send a message to everyone else. You know, if you tolerate that, that means whoever else works for you, they're gonna see a weakness that they manipulate. So, no, it's not hypocritical. It's business.
Right.
It's business. You know, if I had gotten fired from my job and they had called me, I would have understood. I wouldn't have fought it. I would have been like, oh, yeah, they got a nigga. I'd be mad I'm not going to get that next paycheck, but I would have understood. It's like, you know, you can't break a law then be like, man, that's fucked up. You targeted me. You break the rule, you understand what's going to happen.
Right.
So, like, but it was a report that came on the LA Times just a couple of days ago. They have all these smash and grabs.
Yeah.
Man, they came out and said that, like, with CVS and all these major companies, they still, this whole year, 2021, have had more losses from internal stealing than these smash and grabs.
Right. Right.
So it depends on what you want to make a big deal out of. Insurance covering it.
Right.
So you'll fire me. What if you caught them stealing some shit that you were stealing too, but nobody else know you was stealing too?
Now, if I caught them one-on-one and no one else knew, I'll talk to them. But if it's one of the things where other employees exposed it, or it was out there where everyone knew that was happening,
right,
then I fired them. But if it was one of the things where I kind of walked in and I saw them slide some paper in there, in that one-on-one situation, yeah, I may talk to them.
Right.
But if it's public, no, you got to fire them because you got to set a standard for the rest of your company.
I mean, I understand. My situation, I probably just like, all right, well, you ain't getting paid a day, Nick, for that day you stole, you ain't getting paid that day.
Then they can sue you for that.
For what?
You can't do that. You cannot. You can't dock pay. That's a lawsuit. You
can't dock pay for what?
If
as is,
yeah, but I'm saying you can't. But then now they have a lawsuit here in California. They got all the goddamn rights.
I'll dock the wages from whatever you stole. I'm just coming out your paycheck.
Ain't a ticket docking?
I know I can get my money back. There's no way I cannot get my money back.
Right.
Infractions are docking your pay, right? You get a ticket, that's the government docking your pay.
But
indirectly.
Yeah.
Indirectly, but like directly here in California, you can't do that. Wow. In labor laws, you'll dock that pay, then you end up owing them motherfuckers 40, 30 grand.
If it's a commission-based job, you can.
Someone steals from me, I'm not allowed to take that out their paycheck. That's what you're telling me.
If you dock pay, you're going to get sued. You open yourself to a lawsuit. A good lawyer is going
to
take that.
I'm going to ask you a question. If someone steals from me, am I allowed to take it out of their paycheck? That's a yes or no.
What you want to do. Yes, you can.
Legally.
I'm not going to give.
Civilly.
You're not going to. I'm not going to ask a legal question. I ain't a lawyer.
You can put a lien on my house.
They can you now open yourself up for a lawsuit.
That's what I'm asking. That's what I'm asking.
If you steal from me, I can put a lien on your house.
Of course.
That's not
you, the mechanics liens. You can do that, but like,
which is some bullshit. Because like, if you don't do the job right now, this motherfucker, I'm not paying you for you not doing the job. You ain't even finished the motherfucker. Now you put a lien on the crib. I did with that shit last year.
Really?
Fuck ass white boy did that shit, man.
What happened? Talk to us.
We went to fucking court. I mean, I had to pay him. Damn. He kept that money.
Damn.
Job similar. Never been done. I ain't seen him since he got his money.
What kind of work was it?
The kitchen. Like doing I had to fucking, what's that shit? The counters.
Countertop. Okay. Yeah.
Halfway through, he's like, yeah, I need more money. Hold on. We had there's a contract here. You said it's going to cost you this much, and I'm going to pay you this much on this day. I'm going to pay you this much when you finish. Mm-hmm. That's on the right. You did this. You brought this to me. Now, all of a sudden, you want more money. Where is that in the contract? You know, so I'm not giving him more money.
Yeah.
He goes, all right, fine, I'm done. Took him to court. That's had crazy. To pay him the whole fucking thing, and he never finished. That's the bullshit.
So that's funny, because like one of my other side jobs is working in home remodeling. And I had a client that wanted us to design a pantry / like desk versus having it custom made. So I designed like a semi prefab custom. It was ugly, but it was enough to get the job done. Got half of it done. She saw us building the second half. Now it's not custom. We're taking prefab cabinets and making what you want. It's not like we're taking and making it to specs.
Right.
She told us to stop. This is ugly. This is horrible. I don't like this. I said, we're not done. Like, let us finish the job. And you can see what it looks like. No, I don't want to tear it all down. Da, 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 da. So, well, it's yours. You paid the deposit. We'll stop. So she starts getting all, no, you got to take it out. She says, I'm not paying my guys to take it out. We can stop right here. So I bring up the mechanics lien because she's like, well, I'm going to sue. I'm like, well, on your contract, it states that I could put a lien on the house. Mm-hmm. Well, we can just squash it. I can write up a letter, say, hey, we're just going to agree to disagree. You keep your stuff. I walk away. She goes and gets her husband, who's a lawyer. He gets on the phone. He's talking. He's all, let me see the contract. Okay. This time it's okay. Because he knew.
Mm-hmm.
He knew we couldn't do anything. Yeah. Now, she was in the wrong. She wouldn't let us finish the job. And we were doing a good job. Actually, it came out really nice.
Yeah.
But I'm like, let us finish.
We were doing a good job,
man. Because she was being cheap. I'm like, if you want a custom cabinet, go pay custom cabinet prices.
Right.
You didn't want that. So I'm trying to give you something based on what we can do.
Right.
So it's just crazy because, like, I've seen that on these contracts forever. I mean, that's never going to come up. And sure enough, this chick was getting hot with us. My partner said, no, just read her that part. I think she'll die down. But that sucks you went through that because you had to pay.
I had to pay.
Wow.
And I didn't get the product done. That's I was like, all right, well, fine. Come finish your shit. Once he got the money, he was like, motherfucker, phone off.
California screws homeowners and business owners. Yep. If you're a business owner, if you're a homeowner in California, you're getting fucked. So you really gotta watch how you move through this shit.
Yeah, the funny thing is, I'm like, and which is funny, right? Because the dude who ended up doing my fucking kitchen did it for like pretty much half the job, which I would have paid Buddy to fix. So it's like, I'm mad I didn't call him first. Either way, long story short, this month I didn't put him on so much business. I told him, I was like, I'm not Jared. I'm gonna put you on to everybody that I know. Which I told the white boy same shit. I was like, you do a good job here. Yeah. I got at least 10 people lined up. My mom's house, first of all, like. The very next week, when he finished my house, Buddy went to my mom's house. From my mom to my uncle, like, he had 8 jobs lined up. So he came and did my bathroom for free. Just
oh, wow.
Like, he literally got like 8 jobs off of just 1 job for me. Like, this is how you're supposed to work. So that dummy, you took that money and you didn't get no more money from me after that.
Right. Whereas you got to run hustle again now.
And he's still eating. 2 years later, he's still eating off of this 1 job you did a year ago.
Dummy.
So it's like,
yeah,
that's how
it's
supposed to be.
That's a lesson. Don't you screw people over? You screw over long money.
That's some real shit right there.
You know what I mean, a lot of times people be out there. Look, it's some people out there because maybe the environment you're raised in, you have that hustler's mentality where all you can see is this deal. If the only thing you can see is this deal in front of you, like that Serena Williams movie, the King Richard, they talked about that in that movie. They addressed it.
Right.
Always see the big picture, man, because especially if you dope at what you do, you're going to get more and more business. Don't fuck this deal.
Come on, now.
That's think big picture.
Hell yeah. That's good. That's good motherfucking advice. Carmel, what you got for us?
So what y'all know about these NFTs, man, and this new metaverse where people are buying real estate now? There was a dude who's paid $450K. You talking about this?
Yeah,
450K to have a house next to Snoop Dogg in the metaverse.
A
place, yeah. They're actually buying, I call it unreal estate, but it's fake real estate in the metaverse. So some dude paid $450 to have a house in was not real.
It's like The Sims?
Yeah.
I heard someone be spending like $600K like on a ship, on a boat. Or something like that in the metaverse. Yeah.
Where
in the
metaverse. How do you find these addresses in this metaverse? Like, I mean, I bought a couple of this I got a couple of domains for the NFTs, but as far as like where is these neighborhoods at? Like, where are these fictional?
I mean, each one are all based on different blockchains, different platforms, Ethereum or whatever, but they all have like their own, like, you know, uniqueness to them. You can find them, but like, that's crazy. 450K to live somewhere that don't exist.
What's the benefit to that? Like, is there a benefit to that?
Money.
Wow. Networking.
Same reason the benefit of getting your own website or web domain before, like when the internet first started.
Yeah, right now we're with the NFT world. We're in 1996. Mm-hmm. I remember when the internet was around in 96. You know, you had a couple people in Yahoo games, maybe AOL chat, but most people when we was on like in Yahoo chat in the late 90s. People be like, you meeting girls on the internet? That, what the fuck wrong with you? Right. You spending money. Like, I remember niggas used to clown in the early 2000s about people meeting each other on Yahoo chat and AOL chat.
Right.
And the whole, the internet was like, it was like you could buy your domain name cheaper back then. You can do all kind of things on the internet that most people was like, we knew about the internet, but it was like, that world ain't real. That world ain't fake. It's fake, and the real world is out here. Right. Now you got 70-year-olds with Facebook pages. So the whole metaverse thing is where the internet was back in 96. As weird as it looks right now, look at these losers in the chat room that think they can fight, talking shit through the chat room. These is going to be the first motherfuckers in the metaverse, because that's going to be the only where they win in life, you know?
It's crazy. So, there used to be this game called Second Life. And I used to work in video games for a minute. It was the dumbest job I ever had. And these dudes was coming in talking about Second Life. I'm like, what is that? And it was like, you go in this world and like live a life. And people were so into this. This was probably like 10 years ago. And I'm like, man, that's the stupidest thing I've ever seen in my life. This is literally what that is now. But there's actually tangible money to it now.
Mark Zuckerberg came out a couple months ago and said, look, I'm investing billions in this metaverse. And if I lose people on Facebook in this meantime, whatever. Mm-hmm. So when the money is putting the billions and billions behind it, that's where the shit going.
Well, they're talking about Nike now getting stuff in there, and all kinds of other companies putting mad money into like
concerts are being hosted in the metaverse.
Yeah,
right.
It's gonna be to where niggas ain't gonna leave their house.
Yeah, you know, that's where it's
they
going.
They don't want that. Yeah,
remember, literally was that Bruce Willis at that shit.
Surrogate.
Mm-hmm.
Right, when this motherfucker was in his crib and like the whole time, and he was just this body was out and lived the world and go to work and do all this shit. And this nigga was in the fucking capsule in the whole time in a room. Life in this apartment. Yeah, old as fuck, like dingy.
Well, I think that's what this whole Corona. I think it's the first wave of using biological warfare to get us to shift our patterns as human. You know what I mean? Eventually, niggas gonna like. Think about it. The metaverse, you put glasses on, Oculus glasses, and now we're here. We're all here together, but digitally. You know, so I feel like they're trying to scare us to stay inside. So that, you know what I mean? This I feel like this is all working hand in hand.
Well, when it first hit, everyone was in the house. We became so used to that. You know, it was like we could do everything here. Yeah. Zoom, I could work remote, da da da. We just became normal. Right. I remember going to dinner for the first time. After this all broke, it felt so weird. Like, this was foreign.
Right.
To be out and hanging out and, like, having dinner with people. So then, like, to see all this stuff becoming a reality, it's like, it's 100%. There's so many movies and Black Mirror and all these shows that have come out to, like, kind of slowly, like, drip us into being.
What's also Avatar.
Yeah.
Avatar, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I was wild last year, younger than that, so I never really felt like.
Yeah, I never.
Pandemic really hit me like that.
Yeah, I was out.
we can't go outside. Shit, Texas didn't say something.
Sayonara. Shit, me and a rival.
Every other weekend, I was like, "Fuck."
I put like 10,000 miles on my car road tripping last year.
Wow.
I think it's going to hit the fan as soon as there's a televised program of people in the metaverse where people watching it on like regular TV. Like if there was a show on
like, Truman Show type shit.
Yeah, like the kind of draw the people in.
Like if there's a show that was like similar to that musical show that they got going where they got avatars.
Oh, it's like a voice.
Avatar.
Yeah. Right.
Oh, the Masked Singer. No,
it's
the Masked
Singer, but actually they're digital. It's like it's weird. See,
that's right there. It's super the first weird. Step of people accepting this metaverse.
Yeah. Facebook is the first step.
Facebook. Yeah, because you're right, because there's people that get on Facebook and they really, Facebook really is life.
Like, it's a real,
like, people really get on Facebook and be like, you said that? You shouldn't have said that.
We're older now, right? We're older now. Right. So we know something different. But there are kids who people have followed their entire journey from babies into adulthood on YouTube now. LaMelo and the Ball family is like an example, but there's actually kids who were raised online where you can see everything that they've done every year since they, and they're 21 now.
And that's why you have all that depression now with all these kids. Like, the internet really is life for a lot of people. People cannot separate themselves from the internet. Look, when it comes to the internet, once you turn this shit off, you're supposed to go back to life. You ain't supposed to be thinking about nobody that's on this motherfucker. Fuck a post, fuck a comment. It's back to life. But people, that line has got erased.
It's getting, it's non-existent damn near. We can see it because we know what it looks like.
We remember, we was actually outside playing as kids, and then we were still kids when the internet came around.
This thing, yeah, because we remember what life was before there. I'll be telling my brother that, and I was like, you have no clue what life was when without internet. He's like, no, what do you mean? I'm like, there was a time in life I was on this earth when there was no internet.
No.
He's like, because this is my brother, my actual little brother. He's like, nah, that's not real. Yeah, what? Nigga. What? There was a long period of time when there was no internet. We was outside doing shit.
I remember when Burning, when we found out how to get music online with Napster and all.
Nigga,
that shit blew up.
What?
What?
I never heard
of the whole album?
Free music.
Because when the radio stopped, these kids will know, when the radio stopped playing a song, you weren't going to hear that song no more.
Right.
And then Napster came out, you was like, oh shit, I can get that song from 93 that I like that they only played for 2 weeks.
Free music? There was a time where that was, there's no way.
Yeah. Yeah.
There was a time.
And you could burn it?
Niggas used to wait in line at the music warehouse to buy albums, niggas.
They don't know that life.
Nigga, you don't know of nothing about that.
Man, that used to be that used to be a date, going to the warehouse.
What? Or Virgin Megastore?
Or Tuesdays when the albums came out?
No, oh, my God.
Nigga, that Virgin Megastore on Sunset, nigga, when that was, nigga.
Now it was Kazaa, LimeWire, was it?
BearShare. LimeWire was fucking putting viruses in your
BearShare.
Ah, man.
When uTorrent came out,
they don't know shit about buying singles.
Right. Nah. Nigga, or remix single tapes.
What? Singles, nigga?
No, nigga, they don't know shit about... Wow. They don't know shit about buying the album and then going back to buy the CD when the CDs came out.
Right.
No.
Right.
They don't know shit about the promo tapes that you used to get of like artists before the album came out. Like Usher's tape that has like songs in it before, like on a Confessions album was a song.
What about them Columbia House where you pay like spend like a dollar and they mail you
because they give you the record before you get the money
and they probably send two or three shipments before they stop sending shipments
right. Oh my God.
See, what's interesting is, so like the whole NFT situation, it makes sense to me for a minute until Tory Lanez came out about dropping an album as an NFT. So then it clicked, because like when Kazaa and all this stuff dropped, we could download a record, burn it, I can get you a copy, and we all had this new album. But now if it's an NFT, I can't give you that, because now you own it and I don't, because now it's an actual digital copy of something.
Well, let's talk about what an NFT is. It's a non-fungible token, right? And what makes it different than a Bitcoin or anything like that is that there's no two NFTs created alike, and they control the supply of them. So if you have an NFT, it's numbered within a number of NFTs. It might be 5 of 25 or 10 of 1,000. So what it is doing is, if you're an artist, it turns your fans into actual stock market traders.
Right.
Because now they can trade on what they buy from you, as opposed to just buying it and saying, hey, I got a t-shirt from DeJuan. Nah, they could buy the digital t-shirt, DeJuan blow up, become the biggest activist in the world. That t-shirt might have been $20 in the metaverse, but now motherfuckers is chiming in to the people who own them, like, hey, I'll give you $100 a pop. Once one sells for $100, it's gonna start a bidding war. Nah, I'll give you $200. Then you incentivize people with the incentive. You could say, if my shit goes up and you sell, I'll give you a 20% commission on the sale. So you can add a dividend to the purchase and sale of your products. That's why NFTs are so dope. And at the end of the day, you're actually minting and creating a motherfucking currency. You could back shit with your shit. Mm-hmm. If you got NFTs that are fucking $100 million worth of NFT, you can go buy a house with auto NFTs.
Yep.
It's changing the motherfucking game, bro. It's going to get rid of cash.
Without question.
People would be spending more money on their virtual world than they're spending. They're going to have their regular money to pay their rent, internet, and car note, maybe. Mm-hmm. But all the other expenses, going to the club, it's going to be a generation that's not going to have those club expenses. Hell, they may not even want to fly to Miami for a weekend. They're going to be spending that money in their Oculus world. You know what I mean? That shit's coming. Like, we're going to be laughing at that shit.
But what happens if there's a, like, what's the, your girl was talking about this earlier today, yesterday actually.
Who?
If there's a,
Whose girl?
Who?
The ones. Who? What's her name? What's that black, the one who was supporting Trump? The black girl.
Oh.
Candace Owens?
Candace Owens.
Oh, that musty.
Yeah, I was like, where is he going?
That musty motherfucker ain't my fan. Fuck that bitch.
You acting like he wouldn't smash. If you don't shut the fuck up, you're
good. I'm good. I'm good.
I'm saying politics and pussy ain't the same. So you're not gonna, if you wasn't married, you're not going to fuck a broad that's a Republican.
I didn't say that, but it wouldn't be that bitch.
Why not?
She's not. No, plus she's skinny too. She ain't thick.
She got great pussy.
Man, I'm not going to find out.
But she was speaking on a possible digital pandemic. Do you think that's possible?
Of course.
So they've been talking about, and a lot of that has been like a lot of, you know, create some kind of chaos, get people scared to get kind of, because people are making some serious money off NFTs and crypto and all this. So a lot of politicians are coming out, this, it might shut down, it might lose all, but part of it is it's also, you know, backed up. You know, that's part of what the blockchain is there's so many redundancies to make sure that doesn't happen. So even if it goes down, it comes back, the numbers should be the same. Not saying it's not impossible to lose everything, but we could lose everything now. You could crash, you know.
No, listen to politics when it comes to NFTs and Bitcoins. Politics are a part of the system. Mm-hmm. Bitcoins and NFTs, that's decentralized banking. Yeah. So that represents a loss of control of the flow of currency. They don't want that. They need to be able to control your fears so you continue to vote and they get the money that comes from you voting for them. So don't listen to no politician when it comes to decentralized banking, because they're not going to give you an honest answer.
And look at the history of it. I remember when ATMs became a big thing. People saying don't use the ready teller, you're going to get robbed. Every time there's a new innovation, there's always the establishment is telling you not to do it. I remember when it went from checks to debit cards. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to take a debit card. What if somebody steal your card? I'm going to keep writing checks. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And so whenever it changes like that, we had the whole savings and loans thing crash in the 80s and the 2000s. You know, it's always the establishment going to say some shit, and then you look up 5-6 years later, all the shit that they was arguing against, they own the shit.
Yeah.
And they tell you it's the best thing ever.
Right. Once they learn to regulate it, it's a
wrap. And once they have it regulated,
that's it. So, like, I've been telling a lot of people, just do a little research on NFTs. I bought a couple just to test it out. You know, buy some crypto. Don't mortgage the house on it. But dip in it a little bit, because you'll start to, you're going to have to do it eventually. But, like, this is, like, the gold rush 2.0. Like, everything's wide open right now. So, if you don't jump in and stake something, like, you know, something.
At least your name.
At least your name. Get out there and put something in this, because, like, stuff's going to flip and you're just going to be like, I was just left out. Now just having to be like, well, you know, I didn't think it would be like this.
Mm-hmm.
Just put something in right now. It's pointless not to.
Yeah, diversify, man. Yeah, because gotta diversify. At the end of the day, this is the easiest way to get next to something more valuable than you so you can make money off of it. Because you know, the reason a guy bought that $450,000 digital real estate next to Snoop's is because the traffic is going to be all people of that caliber.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So if Snoop is on a corner, Nike going to be on the next corner. Like, it's still traffic. It's still actual people, except you can be where you can't be from where you are.
Talk about. So I got a question. So you say he bought a house, right? So did he finance the house or he paid $450,000 cash?
If I remember the story right, it was $450K straight up.
Oh, you got $450 on a meta. You got that cash.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm saying because
but if you finance it,
if you gonna finance $450, like right, you ain't paying $450 cash, you just paying the monthly. He's not paying the monthly payment on his house.
No, they still
have to develop digital financing, because if you finance it the traditional way, that's not decentralized banking. Mm-hmm. You're going back into the regular banking system, and they would never give you the money to do that.
That's why I was about to ask. Like, hold on. I'm sure that's not what happened.
Like, this is just information for now. This is not an endorsement, but like, if for people who want to know where to start. Unstoppable domains, you know, just mm-hmm. buy your own name, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Because it's coming. You can get a .x, a .crypto, a .nfc, you know. Mm-hmm. And so go to and that's one of the places. There's other places like that, but that's just mm-hmm. one of the places that's out there.
Get your OpenSea account.
Get your OpenSea account.
Get your OpenSea account. Jump into the game, man. That's how you can figure out some of the things that are going on. I'm going to bring my boy Jamal Boykins on here. You know Jamal.
Yeah.
We're going to have another conversation about crypto and all this other stuff. You know, there's a lady who bought a $20,000 digital Birkin bag. Birkin bag.
People gonna be flossing in the metaverse. Like, look, bitch. I love it. It's new, man. So don't be scared of that shit, man. Jump on it. We want to see y'all niggas rich.
Duane, you got something for us today?
Yeah.
What you got?
James Brown's catalog only sold for $90 million. And at the same day, what's his name? Sold for $500 million. Bruce Springsteen.
Oh my!
Please.
God.
And me and my thing, the people are happy because they're saying James Brown's estate got what it was valued at, but that's probably a 20th of what that estate is worth. We gotta remember James Brown had his Live at the Apollo album in 1963 sold 3 million albums back then, and that's 5 years before he created funk. This motherfucker created a whole new music genre late in his career, and that's the genre that supports hip-hop. When he changed the accent to the one, and he changed the sound, he's the most sample artist of all time. How can somebody who's the most sample artist of all time have a catalog worth only $90 million?
You're
black,
please.
Yeah.
Perceived
value.
Bruce is white.
What do you mean not popping?
He said he's not popping.
Bruce
right.
ain't popping right now either, nigga.
He said he ain't popping right now.
He said, no, he's not.
Can you name one song right now?
I mean, Born in America. I mean, I'm not a Bruce.
Exactly.
Born in the USA.
Born in America is actually James Brown's song.
Yeah,
that's what I'm
saying. Born in the USA.
But do you know, James Brown is a sample.
Living in America.
Look, is it not popping? James Brown sample is what the Powder Puff Girls theme song is. James Brown's still popping.
No, but I'm saying, only people who love James Brown know that. Most people who are hearing
it's not about love, it's about dollars. This is, we're talking about dollars. The dollars say James Brown's music is still popping because his samples used from the Powder Puff Girls to goddamn Justin Timberlake. The Big Payback gets sampled every fucking year and goes number one. So the dollars say that the Big Payback alone is probably worth $90 million. Because not only was that a big...
You putting a lot on the Big Payback.
No. Not only has it gets played...
It has made that much money.
It gets played every minute around the world, every day. James Brown, or James Brown record gets played every minute of every day around the world.
Yeah, definitely.
Now.
But the Big Payback...
Think about how many hits that came from that.
No, I mean...
Fight the Power, nigga.
It should be way more than 90 million.
I'm saying...
Bruce Springsteen's getting 500.
Yeah, right.
Tina Turner got 50. Don't nobody listen to nothing but Proud Mary.
That's not true. She had a couple
love?
Hits in the
air. Oh, yeah, what's love?
Got to do it. What's love?
Got but a second hand emotion. What's love? Got to do it.
You need a heart when a heart can be broken.
But but Tina's not worth half of what James Brown's probably a $2 billion catalog.
Thank you.
Most definitely. But how much did Mike? He can't go for more than Mike. Mike went for what, 7?
Mike, I don't know, but James Brown had more hits than Michael, and he's been sampled more than Michael.
But he was not a bigger artist than Mike.
He was a bigger artist at his time. James Brown stopped the riot.
No.
1968, James Brown. When King got killed, James Brown stopped the riot.
That's beautiful.
James Brown had his own food stamp.
Right.
Yeah.
That sounds good. James Brown is...
At the time.
James Brown is...
Why he go to James Brown? His own food stamp?
He had his own food stamp.
How was that making bigger than Michael?
No one knew that.
Ain't nobody bigger than Mike, bro.
Jermaine, James Brown's...
Michael Jackson is bigger than the NBA.
No, I'm saying at the time. Yeah. I'm talking about at the time.
Mike is.
I ain't talking about now. Michael Jackson's the biggest now. That's no question.
Artist of all time.
I'm talking about at the time.
Only nigga on his level is Jesus.
I'm talking about like at the time. James Brown was the biggest star on earth.
Jesus on Mike's level.
Muhammad Mike.
Muhammad's on Mike's level.
Yeah. And Mike was around during that time too.
Jesus ain't on Mike's level because everybody loves Mike,
right?
Oh, Mike is the greatest. Mike is the most famous. I'm not saying that now. No, Mike easily now. I'm talking about like, but if you take 1968 James Brown, that was the biggest thing on earth.
Yeah, I get that. 60, yes.
Yeah. They were Elvis
at the time.
Elvis,
he was bigger. Elvis was done by then. James Brown was. Look, James Brown died the same day as President Gerald Ford. People forget that. People was like, oh, the president died? Oh, James Brown
dead. Is a motherfucking monster. I'm not that, but I'm just saying.
James Brown got more coverage than Gerald Ford when they died the same day. That should tell you something.
Ford,
if a nigga get more,
if that's a bad analogy.
No one cared about Nixon, but I had to watch his goddamn funeral all day.
I knew who Nixon was though,
and we all knew Ford. All I'm saying is a black artist getting more attention from the media than a white president. I don't give a fuck what
to
you
that
say.
That being said, yeah, 90 million to 500 million is completely absurd.
But what if Mike's catalog goes? Because his shit is even more absurd. Mike went for
way less than what it should have been.
He should have went for probably 4-5 billion. I think
he should have went for 10 billion.
I think it went for 750.
That's crazy. Like,
that wasn't shit.
It was like 750.
Who's buying these catalogs? Who bought James Brown stuff?
It's this company. I'm not prepared with it. It's one company. I'm drawing a blank to their name, but they own James Brown. They own part of. They own Prince. They own Whitney Houston. They own my man Count Basie.
But see, that's
one company.
That's why Prince and Michael have always made such a big deal about ownership. So now these estates
and they got that from James Brown,
right? But now these estates that are black families or black owned or whatever aren't getting that kind of money. It's supposed
that's
to
that's some Illuminati shit. Whoever owned that shit will kill your ass.
Are they Americans? The American companies?
Hell no! I bet you it's some Great Britain, Japanese. Yeah,
it's definitely some old Scottish. Wales, UK stuff. It ain't. Yeah, it's not black folks.
And they gonna take all the music and
well, primary
Jewish,
wave.
Might be Jewish.
Primary wave music. They're the ones who bought it, and they're the ones who own Count Basie, Whitney Houston, Sam Prince. Cusco? I don't know about Sam Cusco, but they own a whole bunch of people. Primary wave music.
Wow.
What else you got for us, D? That's it.
Yes, it.
We're gonna go to a commercial break. When we get back, more correct facts.
Maybe that edible hit you, huh?
Yeah, edible.
We back, man. Y'all got to stop leaving during the break. What else you going to do out there? Ain't shit else on YouTube and Facebook. We live. Ain't y'all tired of watching all them goddamn sketches? With the same big booty bitches walking in, playing stupid.
Hey, they do be doing that.
Yeah, the best nigga at the sketches is Jade. Everybody else is kind of boo-boo. Except G. Wayne, Jade. It's a couple other dudes that's pretty cool. The dude from Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
But for the most part, it's...
Which one? You talking about...
Business something
yeah,
or...
Yeah, corporate.
Corporate dope. Yeah. Couple of them New York cats is dope for the most part. Jahan is dope.
What's in your boy funny?
Who?
Popo Vasquez?
Pop Vasquez funny than a motherfucker.
That nigga is fucking hilarious, dog.
He got a decent podcast, too. Y'all follow the sketch, motherfuckers, though. Yeah. Follow a real nigga, too. Follow me, motherfucker. Follow everybody in this room.
Thank you, man. I'm in some of those sketches. We all in some of these different sketches.
Who the best at the sketches? Ever.
Ever?
Ever?
Rito.
Ever. You talking ever. No.
Rito's
Rito
up there. Rito's up there.
I got Ja number one.
Ja.
I would say Ja.
Ja's.
I would say
Ja.
Ja. Yeah.
Hands down. Yeah. I got Rito in second place. Close first.
Corporate shit's up there though.
Corporate.
His be fired to me though.
You like corporate?
Yeah. The old batch stuff? Everything.
No, no, I mean King Batch.
Yeah, old King
Batch.
Oh, you're
talking
about King Batch?
Yeah,
the old,
King
Batch.
The old,
huh?
The old stuff. The real. Ha, 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 it's funny.
You like, ha, 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 cool.
Sketches,
I never got into sketches. I don't really watch sketches.
The outburst is funny.
Yeah, like his mannerisms and shit.
Not all of them, but
yeah.
Yeah.
And Country Wayne.
Country Wayne is epic. They love him now. Look, I'm going to be honest. Down south, it ain't hard to entertain some of the motherfuckers. You know what I'm saying?
Shout out to the South.
Yeah, so shout out to the South. Y'all support black stuff. I like it. But the colorism is still heavy. They'll support a light-skinned woman down South, but they don't be supporting light-skinned men down South in certain places when it comes to the sketches. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah?
No, they don't fuck with the sketches like that. They want you to be on some intellectual shit if you're a light-skinned nigga down South. You feel me?
Hey.
You can't do no cooning and what you say, soft-shoeing. They let the dark-skinned niggas do it all day. Oh, yeah. Light-skinned niggas, like, we got to prove. I don't know if we got to prove that we... I don't know why. Why do light-skinned niggas have a higher standard of blackness than dark-skinned niggas?
I don't, like, that's a bigger thing down South, but I hear part of it is it's a healthy suspicion because of how the mulatto class was used around the time of slavery. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Howard University, Fisk University, they were built for the mulatto children of slave owners because that those black children they were too black to go to Harvard and Penn State and too light-skinned to go to Tuskegee. So they built Howard and Fisk University as schools for mulatto children to rule over the darker skinned black class. Now, a lot of that stuff got washed out in the 1920s and 30s because that's when niggas realized, oh shit, nigga, we in this shit together. So it's not as big as it used to be, but it is encoded in certain black people's DNA to have that suspicion.
Right. No, I felt the places. I'm like, God damn, this is just because I'm light skinned. That's crazy.
Unless you blackface.
I mean, nah, I'd never do that. But
right. Of course, you know he wouldn't do it. But I'm just saying.
And I get it.
Laugh hard.
You said wrong. It sound good though. Okay, so you saying that certain parts in the South colorism don't exist? Well, what are you saying that we're wrong about? Elaborate on that, brother. You know who you are. You know what I'm saying?
I've observed it. My mom's like super light skin.
Right.
And I've seen it with her. Ooh, and how they treat my mom, you know, the way that they, you know, when we were going on vacations down South. You know, and I would see it, you know, and they would be like, okay, it's a real thing. So I'm not here to say it don't exist anymore. Right. But, you know, it's something I think that people need to check.
Right.
Because Beyonce, we in this shit together like a motherfucker.
Right. If Beyonce was dark skinned, Destiny Child would be 702. I'm just keeping it 100 with you.
Wow.
Hey, true.
Wow.
I'm just keeping it 100.
Hey.
I'm just saying, who is the most famous, like the most recent dark skin, like singer that really was up there, like
Travis Scott, like,
female.
I'm like,
female.
Damn, because. They really started.
Well, Jennifer
Hudson.
India Irie.
And that was 20 years ago.
Jennifer Hudson. Jennifer Hudson.
Yeah. But like, even she can pass. This is one of the things where, like, the industry stopped really putting black American women on TV in the 90s. And whether it be, like, TV shows or the news or singing. Because remember, like that. Remember that whole genre in the mid '90s with the best man and all that shit.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That was the last time you really seen black American women on camera. Ever since then, it's been like she has to be mixed with something to get on TV.
Right.
So they really have X'd our sisters out of TV in the last 25 years.
Who's the chick from what's that show? The two biggest shows on
Viola Davis,
Mike Davis, and the other chick.
Who?
Kerry Washington.
What about Kerry Washington's brown skin?
Kerry Bridges brown skin.
Viola Davis is dark.
Viola Davis is dark. Attractive. So it's like,
wow.
Okay, but okay, we just
Beyonce level.
Okay, we just named one.
That's one of the biggest shows.
We just named one, and we can name 15 dozen of people who ain't dark skinned black women. All I'm saying is they've been systematically taken out of entertainment over the last 30 years, and we see it.
There was only one Esther Rolle, and her time. I mean, you wouldn't see too many women like at her time, like, oh, beautiful, you know.
But that's wrong.
South, they feel like light skinned people think they're better than everybody else. I get that vibe in certain places down South, not everywhere, not Texas. You know, it's pretty progressive. But when you go to Mississippi, mm-hmm. Alabama, them niggas are still thinking with a whole lot of colorism in the way that they dissect each other and outside people, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And I don't know how we get rid of that shit, but that shit is That shit is weak to me, my nigga.
See, it's funny because like even getting rid of it, I don't know. I don't know that you can, because like the a lot of the perception comes from certain. For example, Floyd was on Drink Champs, and Nori made a comment about his son having good hair, and Floyd jumped on him.
What did he say?
He said, "What do you mean good hair? If his hair is good, what's my hair? What's the opposite of good? Because his son's a little mixed." Mm-hmm. So Nori was like, "Well, you know, season up." But Floyd was right.
Right.
You call a mixed kid's hair good, then the kid who's not mixed hair has got to be bad.
Right.
And so that's happening. This 2021.
Right. If Country Wayne was light skinned, and I like him, he dope. But if he was a light skinned person, he wouldn't be as.
They wouldn't accept him.
They wouldn't fuck with him.
That's in code. It was one of those things where, like, it's court cases back in the 1800s where you were free from slavery if you can claim you had good hair.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of this stuff had life or death consequences. A lot of the things that we fight over, when you look at the history of it, they had life or death consequences for us, and those became fights. And then how people would be used, how the mulatto class was used. We got to all remember the same kind of common enemy that used us, and we got to be focused on that. Because, like, at the end of the day, and plus on top of that, we can't get rid of it.
Mm-hmm.
Every group is going to have infighting. Like, white Anglo-Saxon Protestants, they shit on every other class of white people. Mm-hmm. They shit on Italians, they shit on... And just until they come in contact with us, they get on cold, and they come together to fuck with us. But the minute we out the way, they go right back to shit. No, oh, you Polish, you German, you Italian, mm-hmm. you ain't shit. Infighting is going to always exist.
Yeah. I think the best way for us is to celebrate our differences and uniqueness. Like, not sit up here and like, oh, well, you got this, you got that. Because, like, even saying things that are misnomers, like that a kid is mixed because he's light-skinned. Not all light-skinned people are mixed. But we've been taught that because, well, black people look like this. And if you're not this black, then you must be mixed. You must have some kind of white or Asian ethnicity mixed into with your blackness. You might not be, but we've been taught this for so many years. It's not indoctrinated to think, oh, you must be part black or part white. So that's probably where you get this colorism and you get people looking down on you because you're not all black. Right. You could be.
From around the world, because it's in Africa, it's in fucking Brazil.
India.
The Caribbean.
It started in India.
Where there's black people, the lighter skinned black people are treated differently.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like let's say like in Nigeria, it's a lot of motherfuckers, a lot of dark skinned ass women out there bleaching their fucking faces because they want to be white.
That's
they
want to
have lighter skin.
That's so crazy.
I think they call us mix because that symbolizes not being a finished product.
Mm.
You feel me? Like when something is still in the mix, it ain't ready. So once you get a stamp on you, whether it's black or whatever you accept, then you're not mixed. You're whatever that labor class stamp that you accepted is, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So I think that they mean it differently than we mean it. We mean it like, you know, you're two different, two different races. But I feel like they look at it through a labor perspective where their mind state is like, well, what kind of worker is this we have?
Mm-hmm.
If he's black, he's a field nigga. You know, we got to put him in the field. But if he's mixed, we don't really know quite where to put him, where he's going to end up, you know, where he's going to be done. You know what I'm saying? So I just think, you know.
And people got to get over all that thinking, because I found a picture of my six times great-grandfather who was a slave in Mississippi, in Natchez, Mississippi in 1855.
Right.
I found a picture of him, and he was a slave, and he was lighter skinned than Craig. So a lot of them stories we've been told about, some plantations work this way, other plantations work that way. But my grandfather, my five times great-grandfather, lighter skin than you when I saw a picture of him.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So you can't go into you was this and you was that. Cry your river, get over it, and get on cold and move on, nigga.
Right, right. I feel you. Hell yeah, I feel you, man. You ain't got nothing else for me, Dewan? I felt like I sent you something else, but if you ain't, it's all good. What you
nigga,
got?
You ain't send me shit.
Oh, I did. Yeah. It wasn't supposed to be a show today. A few of the people are sick.
Oh, but I do have something else, though.
Yeah, sure, Dewan.
OJ Simpson's parole ends in Nevada, so OJ is free now.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, so yes. No more checking in with the man, OJ. You know, he's scot-free.
Mm-hmm.
One thing, you know, I don't support a lot of things about OJ, but I do support the fact that he kept his smile through all of this. That motherfucker done been in jail for getting his own shit back.
Yeah.
And every day he wake up on Twitter playing golf.
It's crazy.
I love that shit.
They the fuck OJ over.
They fuck, and he still be playing golf smiling.
He still be getting the club.
I love it. I love that. I love that spirit.
Yeah, he OJ.
He's still paying.
Yeah.
Where you gonna be mad at? Like, fuck it. I'm still paying. Fuck
his money stacked the whole time he was in jail.
Nigga. OJ. Like, and I'm still OJ. Like, I mean, fine.
But you gotta be careful because it ain't over.
Well, yeah, he's still a black man in America.
Yeah, they still on his ass. I don't know what they gonna find something. I didn't think the jersey shit was gonna stick. How that work?
How you gonna steal your own stuff?
You know what I'm saying?
Go to jail.
I mean, you can't.
He got 14 years.
He went in there with guns and shit, right? Like. It wasn't no simple robbery.
No, the person that set him up had a gun. The person that set him up had a gun.
And that nigga ended up doing time too, right?
Probably not as much as OJ.
You know they watching him. He got to be careful with everything that he does. You got to dot your I's and cross your T's. Period.
You like, look,
right.
Yeah, OJ know that now.
You stay in the lane.
He had 9 years to think about it. He got it.
Yeah. Just stay on them golf courses, he'd be all right.
Stay on the golf course. Stay on the golf course.
You want to hit something white? You got the ball right there, bro.
You know OJ's still trying to get some pussy. He's going to be out there chasing.
You think he learned his lesson,
or he's still looking for white women?
Instagram says he's still looking for white women because every random chicks posting him on Instagram like every week.
They still looking for him.
They still. Oh, he be online hunting.
Like, people are like, I'm with OJ. They'll take a selfie and post it.
It's always a white girl.
Oh wow.
Have y'all seen his music video? The right before he like it's like about last like 5 years ago. There's a lot of girls in it.
He made a music.
Oh yes, I do remember that. That was a while ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was after he was kind of like.
I think it was right before. No, I think it was right before he went in.
Right.
Yeah, I remember that.
I don't remember that shit.
That was weird. It's awkward.
Yeah,
it's mad awkward.
We're gonna wrap the show up, man. Carmel, tell everybody where they can find you.
For Carmel, that's the number 4 KARMEL and Black Brew BLCKBRW.
Man, Sonny, man, tell them where they can find you, man.
Please don't find me, but it's Sunny in the Evening. On Instagram is SUNNET.
That nigga got a Zorro mustache.
On guard.
Hello, world. It's Otto Box. You can find me on Instagram.
You disrespected the Queens.
You must pay what you like.
There's a bounty on your head.
What's up, y'all? You know, it's your girl, Mimi. You can follow me at Keeping It Real with Mimi on all social media platforms or follow me on YouTube. It's your girl. You already know what it is.
Hey.
Yo, chat, Ivo Cuero.
Hey.
Regular_DOZ, man. I love everybody.
Hey, yeah. Hotelbiz.com/shop. Get your sweaters, t-shirts. All that shit. Craig Facts.
You must be high.
Yeah, I'm high in the motherfucker.
Yeah. He said they called him Jack Sparrow. All right, man. I appreciate y'all watching the show. We're going to have another live show coming up really soon. So y'all be on the lookout. I don't know, man. I may do something New Year's Eve. I don't know. But we got a show. We got a show coming up, man. I'll announce where it's going to be at next week. Check out the website, thecraigsmith.com. Subscribe to the Patreon. You're going to be able to watch all the old episodes on Patreon because, like I told you before, YouTube be tripping, y'all. So, I'm switching everything over to Patreon soon. Make sure you subscribe. And if I owe you something, get it from God. God, God, God. That's been the show. Yeah.
Hey guys, finding the perfect gift for the food lover in your life is easy, thanks to Goldbelly. Goldbelly ships America's most iconic foods straight from world-famous restaurants right to your door. So if you want to treat someone to Joe's Stone Crab from Miami, Franklin Barbecue from Texas, or desserts from famous foodies like Ina Garten or Martha Stewart, Goldbelly has you covered with free shipping anywhere in the country. Just go to goldbelly.com and for a limited time, get 20% off your first order with promo code GIFT. That's promo code GIFT.